Hi there, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and today our show is on sound baths and how to do a good sound bath and get people even higher. And we'll be talking about some various things you could do, and also mostly this is has to do with I've had quite a few people recently come to me and said that they didn't like a sound bath they went through. And so I just want to really outline the difference between a good one and a bad one so that it may help the ones that could be a little better. And also mostly just to let people know there are good ones and not so good ones. Okay, so people don't get turned off if they go to a sound bath that's not that great. And then if you're doing them, this will be really helpful as well. So our intention is that everybody will get exactly what they need at any event around sound healing, and then it will bring it into the mainstream. Okay. So before we get started, let me tell you about some things that are happening here at the Institute. First of all, on Sunday, February 24th, we've got our next open house, free open house, and it's from 1 to 6, and it's a really great time. We do meditations or with a lot of heart-opening meditations. We talk about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And even if you're not interested in classes, it's really a fun time. We also put everybody on the sound lounge and sound table and vibrate people into bliss, and people get to play with all the stuff in our store. We got a lot of stuff in our store. And so that's February 24th from 1 to 6. We also have some other meetups coming up. Actually, in about 2 hours, we have Sylvina here, who's one of our instructors. She's doing a two-hour sound healing event. And so if you happen to be in the neighborhood, come on over. And then also, let's see, we've got on Sunday, February 10th, from 5 to 7 p.m., Connie McCauley and myself are doing a sound bath with all types of instruments, which is voice and crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, gongs. She's got some really big gongs and tingshas and bells and drums and xylophones, kalimbas, koshi chimes, and lots of love. And so if you can make that, it's only $20. Also on, I think it's Friday, February 15th, we have Jamie Liu is coming down and doing from Mount Shasta and doing another concert, and I'll be working with her as well. And that's at 7 p.m. and she's total intuitive and really tuned in, so we get really high when Jamie comes. So that's happening. Also we just posted our Mount Shasta retreat, which is coming up actually, let's see, I've forgotten the dates. Let's see, it's like July 20, I don't have the dates in front of me. I think it's July. You can see it online at soundhealingcenter.com. You'll see it in the events, also at soundhealingcenter.com/Mount Shasta. And it's a really amazing time where we, it's 2 days at Stewart Mineral Springs. And I'm looking up the date as we're talking. And it's then on the third day, we go up on Mount Shasta, and it's just beautiful. It's just so beautiful, and the energies there are so powerful. It's July 13th and 14th, and then the 15th, we go up on the mountain. And it's just, it's really, I found some vortexes up at Bunny Flat, and so we just do a meditation on the third day up on the mountain. And it's Stewart Springs. It's right on a river. It's beautiful. So you can find that on our website. And it's $188 till February 15th. We also have our summer intensive coming up in June. It's like June 4th to the 14th and August 3rd to the 13th. And that's the whole certificate program. You could do just the first half in June. And it's 10 days each time in June and August. And you can actually, it's actually 10 to 9:30 every day. So if you're out of town, it's perfect. So you don't waste a lot of time here. And you can even stay at the Institute as well. And you can find all of these events on soundhealingcenter.com. We also have our classes just started in sound healing this week here at the Institute. You could still easily jump in. And it's 3 nights a week, Monday through Wednesday night, and some weekends. And we've got like a dozen instructors. It's really, really powerful transformation. It also teaches you skills on how to be a sound healer and how to do sound baths for that matter. Also, we've got a the recording class is starting this Wednesday, where we teach how to run Pro Tools or any, it's actually applicable to other programs as well, and how to record and mix and use binaural beats and create music. And it's even got music theory component. And we use my whole visual system in my book, The Art of Mixing, which is the main book in the field. We have labs. We have mini studios here, so you get to practice in the labs. We also have that class coming up in February online, if you wanted to do it online as well for audio recording, totally separate than the sound healing program. For the sound healing program, the certificate program is the first semester of the degree program. Oh, I forgot to mention, we also have the sound healing program online. You could start actually this Tuesday or just about every other Tuesday. It's another start time. It's ongoing enrollment. So if you're interested, you can find it at soundhealingcenter.com, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, or call me at 415-777-2486. We also have our therapy center where we can find your home note, your soul note, where you're at rest, and where your whole system flourishes. And also where you're really just at home, and it's really a good portal to other dimensions. It's interesting. I woke up totally in my home note this morning. It's just, I guess I had some higher beings working with me in my dream state last night. And it was really, really quite amazing. And I just, everything was clear. Everything in my life was clear. It's kind of gotten interesting through the day, but this morning I was like perfectly at peace, and the next steps and everything I needed to do in my life was completely clear. And that's the basis of getting back to your home note, is to really be able to just get information and downloads and be at peace with whatever you need to do, and get information that comes to you. It's really great. So anyway, we do that online and at the Institute. We also do voice analysis. We've got the voice analysis harmony program that is we can do a voice analysis on you over the phone or here at the Institute and find what sounds are missing in your voice. And they correspond to different organs and different issues and even diseases as well. But we also sell the program, so you can actually do a buy the program, and you can use it to find what essential oils work, what bowls work, what notes are missing in your system. So you can, and then we give you a whole set of CDs as well. The online training for that is February 9th. So if you wanted to sign up, you got to sign up by the end of this week, because there's a little bit of studying you have to do. We also have the store here with all types. Oh, the therapy center is soundtherapycenter.com. The store is, we've got all types of crystal bowls, alchemy bowls. We've got Tibetan bowls. We've also got the sound lounge and bass pod that can get rid of pain and are really effective for depression and PTSD. and any muscular issues. So you can find all of the things in our store at soundoflove.com. So again, you can always call me at 415-777-2486 or email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. So recently, I've had quite a few people come to me and say that they've gone to some sound baths and they really didn't like them, right? And it's really interesting because I really don't want sound healing to get a bad reputation, because there are so many sound baths that are incredible. I mean, just amazing, right? For the most part, people like a sound bath no matter what somebody does, because the basic thing that everybody's doing are consistent tones, which is the bowls, whether crystal or Tibetan. It could even be tuning forks, but normally like didgeridoo or voice, the vowels in the voice, or singing, of course, or any of the other instruments, whether it's gongs or tingshas or any instruments that are drones, or drums, which are consistent rhythms. So regardless of what people do and whether it's really the best or not, there's generally people like it. Last night we had an event at our place and I didn't think it was that great myself. I'm a little critical because I've been doing it for so long, but I could tell people still loved it because it was just, you know, I mean, first of all, you're laying down. When you lay down, your parasympathetic system often kicks in, but it's just, you know, consistent notes. But I know it could have been a lot better, right? And so there's always this underlying aspect. But if somebody's not doing it in a really cool way, a lot of people don't know, because they haven't been doing this. They haven't been going to sound baths for a while, right? But if somebody's really sensitive, they might feel the energy of it and not like it. I know some people have gone to Grace Cathedral here that just really did not like what was going on, right? So let me talk about some of the things that I do. Also, I'll just tell you from my perspective and some suggestions, and also even suggestions about how to be at a sound bath. Maybe I'll start with that. You know, a lot of the instruments in sound baths are very activating, and that can, for a really sensitive person, that can make it, it can almost create anxiety for very sensitive people. I would say 98% of the people that go to sound baths, it's not anxiety. It doesn't create anxiety. Maybe, you know, although I've got a sensitive system. I've gone to Tibetan bowl concerts and was like, oh my God, this is intense. I really have to breathe. And I know people have gone to gong baths and actually had to just really breathe because it's so intense, right? So especially for gongs and Tibetan bowls, they're the most activating. Some people find it a little difficult, right? Although again, there is the consistent tones. So some people can just go to sleep, right? But technically, gongs and Tibetan bowls are timbres that are quite activating. We've talked about it in other shows here, but basically what's going on with gongs and Tibetan bowls is they actually, in the sound itself, in the harmonics that are in the sound, there is a dissonant chord in the actual harmonics of the sound. And that's what creates the activation. It's really cool for breaking up stuck energy or blockages. Really cool. Very cool. And that's really great. If it's not too much for you, it can be really great at clearing out. I mean, one of our instructors, Lisa Lippincott, she actually was in bed for almost 2 years after having actually breathing some really toxic fumes. And she was, the gongs basically totally saved her life. I mean, in a major way. And she's now doing gong baths all the time, right? So it's very good for, they're really incredible for clearing energy, but for some people, they're just too much. What I've actually done is I've actually called in different beings myself when I'm in a sound bath, not when I'm doing it. Well, I do when I'm doing it, but even while I'm just attending a sound bath, I actually call in higher beings to actually work with me. And that's actually helped me quite a lot. You could do prayer, right? I call in the Hathors. And I call in like archangels and ascended masters. And it's actually, if I look in and add, if I add light to the room, even though there may not be so much light, then I actually do it. Here's the biggest problem. And there's not too much to be said because it's all perfect. But sometimes let me put it this way, people's energy that they bring to the sound bath is often quite different, right? So it's interesting that the biggest problem is that for especially sensitive people, is what I'm finding is certain people sometimes have a little bit of ego around it. Got to be careful. I want to be really sensitive about how I say this. And they may not be bringing in higher energies. I mean, when people are really living the life and have done the work, they could play anything and there's light all around, right? It's like even sometimes there's been times when I've gone to see Jamie Lu, who's coming here in February, and it's like there's things I wouldn't have done that she does with the instruments, but her energy is so high. I mean, she's just living, she's just not only bringing a really energy of a higher level, but she lives in that energy. And the more people live in that energy, the more coherent it is when they bring it, right? So it's like, oh my God, you could go off for a year on like how to clear out ego. I mean, here's a few suggestions though. When you set an intention for the event from the beginning, then you hold that energy of that intention while the concert's going on, the sound bath's going on, then all ego is gone. So if your focus is completely healing the people that are in the event or completely bringing a healing energy to the planet, which is simply coherence, stable. So energy. So when your focus is really a higher intention, then that can completely overcome. What I really like to do is I like to set the space, right? And a lot of people, they just bring that energy. Or if we when we do concerts at Sherrith, it's like, oh my God, what a spectacular space. It's like I like to just invite people into the sacred space, right? Instead of setting sacred space, because it's already a sacred space. But otherwise, it's good to set the space. One of our instructor, Richard Feather Anderson, talks about gateways, and that really bringing people into the actual space to be able to set it. Well, here's the way. There's many ways you can do this. The number one way I do it is I say, we set sacred space now. I go to the home note on there. Set sacred space now. I also like to invite higher beings. And if this doesn't resonate with you, that's fine. But what I find is, even if it doesn't resonate with a person, there's a lot of people that it does resonate with them. And when you say it, they bring them in their own guides, if that's where they're working, right? So I like to say, we call in all of our guides. And we also bring, we ask for help from all of our guides and also ascended masters. I think of it as the three A's: ascended masters, archangels, and positive aliens. Right? And I actually have different ones that I work with that I think of when I bring them in, like the Hathors and Gabriel and Michael and Raphael and Babaji. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll ask the group to bring in any guides they know of or any helpers they have. Sometimes I'll even have the group actually say. And I find when we do this that the energy in the room changes dramatically, right? Maybe too out there for some people, but it's really interesting. I mean, most people are not annoyed by this. In fact, hardly anybody I've ever come across, right? So it's very cool. I mean, of course, setting the space, like lighting candles or using Ting Shas in the beginning to go through the room even before people get there to clear the room. You can do toning through the room. I mean, some people actually set up crystal grids. There's all types of what. I mean, more than anything is to make sure the space is, if you have control of the space, to really make sure that it's soft. They got warm lighting, of course. Just as as beautiful as you can make it, obviously, right? So I think that really helps. In the beginning is to set that space and to practice, bringing in these higher energies. It's, some people just live in these higher energies and there's not much to bring in. You just bring that energy to it, right? But still, it's still good. It's basically, the beginning of a ceremony. It's like, it's really just setting the space, right? So let me play a little bit from a concert. I haven't really edited this, so we'll see how it comes out. But let's play about 7 or 8 minutes of the concert. Let's see which one. It's actually, fine. It's the really long one, the one that's about 30 minutes long. So we're going to listen to a concert. Yeah, we're just going to play the first 7 or 8 minutes of the 53-minute one. Okay, so just tune in, bring in your guides, our helpers, and enjoy. Few things here. We'll get to some crystal bowls in the next round. Whenever I play, the number one thing is flow, right? There was a little edit in there, so it didn't flow so much, but actually that's not a final product, final one. But anyway, the flow, and that is smooth transitions. So you go from one thing to another without anything abrupt, because you don't ever want anything abrupt to really shock people, especially when people are really mellowed out. It can actually be very shocking when something really abrupt happens. So the flow is really important. I really prefer to actually have the whole concert go from activating to calming. That was the more activating aspect of the concert. So we actually started with the big, we got like about a 40-inch bowl, like a huge, maybe even like 48-inch bowl. It's like the biggest crystal bowl in the world. And that was the real bassy tone in the beginning. And then it went to gongs, which is really activating, and then to the handpan, which is the hung drum, which is was played a little intensely, so it's really quite activating as well, right? And then from there, slowly mapping out all the instruments, so you go from there to more and more and more mellow. Of course, there's ups and downs throughout the whole concert, but you really want it as mellow, I mean, to end in at the most peaceful place possible at the end is what I like. It's not the law, right? But it's like, that's like the best thing about sound healing baths, is to really get people to a profound, I mean really profound state of peace and stillness where, you know, everything is known. So I like to really have that as a trajectory between of like activating to more and more and more calming throughout. Now with the actual crystal bowls, what I like to do is have two different sets, actually many of the two sets. The first set is a set of bowls that are beautiful, totally beautiful together. So they're like just incredibly harmonious chord. And you can play them one at a time, just hit them, that is, and chime them and create the chord. Even it's like, you can like play a little melody, right? or you can just ring them and still have the same chord and do different combinations in different orders. It's often always best to end with the home note, to end with the home note whenever playing anything. We'll talk more about that in a second. But then to also have a second set of crystal bowls that actually create binaural beats. Whenever you have two tones that are really close to each other, they create a rhythm. Ma 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 ma. And those are really activating, totally activating, can totally take people out into different realms, right? And so so that's really cool to get go back and forth between the really beautiful harmonious set and a really beautiful activating binaural beat set. Now, it's really great when you have two people playing in the concert because you can get more than just two bowls going. I mean, you can ring a bowl and it'll still ring for a while. So you can get three or four bowls going if you're good. But it's hard to get like fully like four bowls really powerfully going with just one person. And so it's really cool. And then just the interaction, it just gives you way more possibilities. So I'll like have a harmonious set that's spread between the two people and a binaural beat set with the rhythms that's created between the two people also, but have multiple sets of these. So you have like, you know, a really beautiful chord that's maybe a set of bigger bowls and a really beautiful chord that's a set of smaller bowls. You know, you could have a set that's the full range, but have multiple sets that may even be completely and often are completely different keys. And then you're thinking about what key you're going from to, right? What transition from what set of bowls to what other set, and multiple sets of binaural beat bowls, right? So you're kind of going back and forth between harmony and, you know, spend enough time before you go back to the binaural beats. The main thing is brainwave entrainment doesn't happen very quickly. I mean, you need at least a couple of minutes. If you do like 10 minutes on something, boy, people are really entrained to it. As long as it's not boring, it can be very cool. So sometimes people are playing something too short of a time to really sink into it. So that's important as well. So often go back and forth, but then what I like to do is transition from the crystal bowls to the Tibetan bowls, basically going from quartz to metal, right? And with the metal bowls, I'll start with just, you can chime them or ring them. And then I'll do a whole flow transition to higher and higher frequency bowls. So start with the lowest ones. And this is like a chakra journey up to the smaller bowls, then to the tingshas, with the ones with the two little bells that you chime together. And then up, I've got some really tiny bells that I go up to the very top, to the highest frequency of all. And then I like to pause with the silence and then slowly start coming back down through the bowls. This is what Karma Moffat does. He's totally got like, he's got like 60 bowls and bells, and he totally has them mapped out perfectly from lowest frequency to highest frequency. And the whole concert is just one journey from the lowest to the highest. So I like to do it just in the middle and instead of the whole thing. And that's very, very cool. So you really go through all of the chakras. One thing that I find very important is, and a lot of people don't do this, in fact it's pretty rare that people do it, and that is silence. I like to go to silence at least four or five times through the concert and let the silence be for about a minute. The silence is the best part. some people commonly will get to a really mellow place, and while the bowl's still going just a little bit, they'll continue to the next section. But I like to actually go to complete silence and really cherish that silence. It's really the best of all. But also, when you go to silence, it is important to remember that that is a incredibly magical place, right? The magic of science. So whatever you do next when there's complete silence is highlighted like crazy. So if you want to do something really deep, you could bring them to have a crystal bowl fade out, be in silence for a few, like a minute, and then go, you are love. You are love, right? Or play something that's just really sweet, like a sansula that's really soft and sweet, or even Koshi chimes, which are so soft and sweet, really beautiful chimes, right? Anything special that you can do in the silence is really, really, it's just so ripe for magic. I like to do that in my music, where I bring people into that silence and then just do something really magical, whether it's just a special sound. There's Wah, who actually does the most amazing thing. She'll like, let me demonstrate. I'm not going to do a crystal bowl, but I'm going to use rhythm as a way of bringing you into a peaceful place. And I should mention this right now, just slowing down a rhythm until it's really slow, I mean really slow, is also just as good as a crystal bowl fading out. So it's like you're playing a drum, bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. You start slowing down. Bum, 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 so after getting to this very sacred space, what Wah does is that's how she begins the concert. And then throughout the whole concert, it's like ma, we home. You should do that with voice and bowls and all types of soft instruments for an hour and a half. So she brings you into that sacred silence, stillness, and does the whole concert there. It is so cool. I've never heard anybody do it like that. And it's really just, it's like she totally gets it, that the slow fade or a rhythm that slows down is a complete, profoundly beautiful space. So it's so important to honor the silence. Also, the other thing that's really beautiful is to do in that space is if someone's a really good singer, do a beautiful melody. Or you could play a melodic instrument. I like playing the free note, which is like a little xylophone or a crystal harp, and play it really slow in this beautiful, sacred stillness space. Right? Now you're just totally, because melodies actually are more beautiful and emotional than just drone instruments, because it triggers let me put it this way. It's hard to trigger love other than energetically without a melody. If you just play a bowl, most people don't get love. But if you do, hi, hi, you, it takes a melody to often access love. Of course, if someone's running loving energy, it'll be there. But so it's nice to often use these really beautiful melodies in that sacred stillness space. There's one thing that is just critical, and I've seen a couple of people do it, and it just makes me crazy. And that is to actually play something really loud in this sacred stillness, or build back up too quickly with the gong, right? It's like, okay, we're like in this beautiful, soft space, and then somebody plays something that's really an edgy instrument. It's like, no. Don't hurt people that way. That's dangerous, right? It's like we're just honor the beauty, right? So it's really important to know the difference between activating instruments like gongs and Tibetan bowls versus, really, really calming instruments. Even crystal bowls are pretty activating, but they still really can be really sweet if played softly. And also, big Tibetan bowls played with a soft mallet are still pretty sweet too. So even though they're activating, the big bassy ones are still really, really sweet. So slow fade is just so critical, and especially a slow fade at the end. I mean, leave people in that complete stillness. This is another thing that bothers me. Is I've seen so many people start after it's over, they'll say, okay, anybody want to share? Or anybody, I've got these events coming up, you can come to, I've got CDs for sale. It's like, goodness gracious, we're in this beautiful, sacred, loving space, and people are doing sales. Come on, do that at the beginning. Let people relish in this space. Right at the end, really let them relish. It's like so great. What's really great, if you can even say, hey, if you guys want to actually hold this silence until tomorrow, it's think of it as a silent retreat. Oh my God, it's incredible. I always like to end also with connection, because often I don't feel connected to the other people in the room through a sound, bath. And so I often like to do a group hug where we do a little toning. I mean, it's nice if you just have everybody do three ohms, but to do a group hug is really beautiful. I really like to like sweep up from the floor and send the energy of the whole concert out to the world. Right? So to send the energy of what we just did to the whole world is really great. You can also, one of my favorites is then, if it's not too big of a crowd, is have everybody hug everybody with sound. Oh my God, it's so cool. And it's so connecting, right? It's really beautifully connecting. So that's, great. And then everybody's just, we're just all dying for hugs anyway, right? And especially to learn how to do it with sound. It is so much fun. It is just so much fun to hug with sound, where both people are doing sound. Some amazing things happening. happen with that. So these are some of the things that I like to do. And I think probably the main thing, and a lot of people do this. I mean, of course, a lot of people, there's so many people that bring unbelievable loving energy way beyond anything I've even talked about. I mean, if you bring this profound energy to it, I mean, that's the whole deal, right? If there's like this really soft, sweet energy that is totally coherent, everybody feels it. And that's, there's nothing better, right? There's just nothing better than that. And again, if someone lives that life, it's like, it reminds me of Kevin James. He's in that space all the time. And when he actually does a concert, he brings the space that he lives in to the concert. And it is so coherent, right? So coherent. So that's really, really the best. So we should just all live in convents. We should all be kind to everybody all the time, right? We should all just really practice what we're already practicing and really just do it. Right? Of course. Of course. So those are some thoughts. So what I want to do is we want to play the last like 10 minutes of the recording that we just listened to, and you'll hear it ends with the actual big 48-inch crystal bowl at the end. So let's play like the last 10 minutes and tune in to this energy that was brought to this concert, right? Okay, enjoy. Yeah, I didn't really get to the end to hear the slow fade, but again, our intention is that sound baths might be incredible all the time for the purpose of bringing this into the mainstream so that we can heal ourselves and heal each other and take our power back from the hospitals and pharmaceutical companies and be totally healthy and whole, connected to each other. That's our goal. Hold that energy for the rest of the night, least weekend, weeks, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes. Thanks for listening and take care.